Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. When my friend becomes so absorbed in something that he doesn't seem able to notice anything else going on around him, I say he's on a deep dive. Not that the subject matter has to be very fascinating. It could be a comparison of light bulbs, and he can put the wetsuit on and disappear down there for ages. After he comes up from the dive, he can talk about light bulbs until you make him change the conversation. He knows he has ADHD, and he wishes he'd known that when he was a kid. So he'll be interested in at least a couple of the articles we're reading together, probably the one on the benefits of ADHD, and likely the one on the hypothesis suggesting disordered sleep could be responsible for the symptoms of ADHD. I hope there's something in here that interests you also. Let's start on the positive side of things with the benefits of ADHD. And this comes from Healthline. It was medically reviewed by Timothy J. Legg, PhD, on January 25, 2016, and written by Rachel Knoll. Attention hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, is a medical condition that affects a person's ability to focus, pay attention, or control their behavior. Healthcare providers usually diagnose this condition in childhood. However, some people are not diagnosed until adulthood. The three main characteristics of a person with ADHD are inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity. ADHD also can cause a person to experience very high energy levels. Some symptoms associated with ADHD include being highly impatient, difficulty performing tasks quietly, difficulty following instructions, trouble waiting for things or showing patience, losing things frequently, often seeming as if they aren't paying attention, talking seemingly nonstop. There is no definitive test to diagnose ADHD. However, healthcare providers can evaluate children or adults for the condition based on symptoms. A number of treatments are available to improve a person's concentration and behavior. These include medications and therapy. ADHD is a highly manageable disease. When taught adaptive techniques to help with time management and organization skills, people with ADHD are able to achieve better levels of concentration. ADHD can be difficult for a person to live with. Some people think those with ADHD are out of control or difficult because they have trouble following directions. While ADHD can mean behavioral challenges, having the condition has proven to be an advantage for some. Celebrities with ADHD. Many people with ADHD have turned their unique behavioral challenges into well-known success. Examples of celebrities whose healthcare providers have diagnosed them with ADHD include Adam Levine, Albert Einstein, Channing Tatum, Glenn Beck, James Carville, Justin Timberlake, Karina Smirnoff, Richard Branson, Salvador Dali, Solange Knowles, Ty Pennington, Whoopi Goldberg. Athletes with ADHD also use the extra energy toward their respective fields. Examples of athletes with ADHD include swimmer Michael Phelps, soccer goalie Tim Howard, baseball player Shane Victorino, and NFL Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw. Not every person with ADHD has the same personality traits, but there are some personal strengths that can make having the condition an advantage, not a drawback. Examples of these traits include energetic. Some with ADHD often have seemingly endless amounts of energy, which they're able to channel toward success on the playing field, school, or work. Spontaneous. Some people with ADHD can turn impulsivity into spontaneity. They may be the life of the party, or may be more open and willing to try new things and break free from the status quo. Creative and inventive. Living with ADHD may give the person a different perspective on life and encourage them to approach tasks and situations with a thoughtful eye. As a result, some with ADHD may be inventive thinkers. Others words to describe them may be original, artistic, and creative. Hyper-focused. According to Pepperdine University, some people with ADHD may become hyper-focused. This makes them so intently focused on a task that they may not even notice the world around them. The benefit to this is when given an assignment, a person with ADHD may work at it until its completion without breaking concentration. Sometimes a person with ADHD needs assistance in harnessing these traits to their benefit. Teacher, counselors, therapists, and parents can all play a role. These experts can help a person with ADHD explore a creative side or devote energy to finishing a task. Research about ADHD benefits is often based more on stories from people with ADHD than actual statistics. Some people with the condition report that the condition has affected them for the better. A study published in the journal Child Neuropsychology found that ADHD sample groups displayed greater levels of creativity in performing certain tasks than their peers without a diagnosis of ADHD. Researchers asked participants to draw animals that lived on a plant that was different from Earth and create an idea for a new toy. These findings support the idea that those with ADHD are often creative and innovative. A diagnosis of ADHD does not have to put a person at a disadvantage in life. Instead, ADHD can and has contributed to the success of many movie stars, athletes, and business people. From Albert Einstein to Michael Jordan to President George W. Bush, there are many people who have reached the pinnacles of their fields with ADHD. And we have a personal essay now. This comes from the Toronto Globe and Mail and contributed by Michelle Beryl Price, titled, "Why Couldn't I Get My Life Together?" When I saw the Nature of Things documentary, ADHD, Not Just for Kids, I was in tears after 20 minutes. The stories being told sounded much like my own. The next day, I researched everything I could about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, but I spent several months wavering between complete denial and acceptance before I called the doctor to get assessed. I must have sounded desperate on the phone. They took me right away. Good for you, you might be thinking. Congratulations. But here's the thing. I'm in my 40s. I read everything there is to read that's new in health and science, and I had no idea that the symptoms I'd experienced all of my life were not the norm. How had I missed this? How had the doctors missed this? Once I started researching ADHD, it became clear that my misconceptions and ignorance about the disorder had misled me. A million thoughts, a million regrets. I felt ripped off. Finally, I told myself I couldn't change the past, but I could share the fact that ADHD can look much different from the hyperactive child practicing backflips off of a chair. This is what ADHD looked like for me. I was a young girl, quietly sitting at my school desk, pretending to listen to the teacher. Meanwhile, I'm watching and drawing the robin that has landed in the tree outside. I'm writing poetry in my notebooks, and I'm rereading entire chapters of my textbooks and taking extensive notes because I can't remember what I've just read, because I'm thinking of the robin I saw earlier. I was the child who would shoot up her hand when the teacher asked for help. The highlight of my school days were walking down the hallway to the art closet, where I'd lose myself in the paints and colorful papers. Here's another picture. I'm a university student who spent hours lost in the library stacks, reading everything there is to know about whatever I'm not studying. I have no deficit of attention. I have it in spades. Apparently, I should consider changing what I'm studying. I'd be changing every few months if I could. Eventually, I'm diagnosed with depression and anxiety. I'm unable to explain that part of what's causing my distress is that I can't seem to get it together like my peers. I'm unable to articulate the fact that I spend most of my time listening to competing thoughts that bounce around in my head, the noise and chaos unrelenting, exhausting me to the point where I'm unable to stay connected with others. All I want to do is sleep, but even there I find no peace. I use drawing and writing as my creative outlet. I don't understand how others jump from one stepping stone to the next, moving on with life while I get left behind. I'm smart, I think. I should be able to do this, but I can't. Later in life, I'd sit at the kitchen table staring out the picture window. There are trees and birds, maybe even a robin, tall grasses swaying. I don't know how long I've been sitting here. There's an empty weight within me that prevents me from moving. I sit for minutes, hours, staring at the same tree, my physical, emotional, and intellectual selves at odds with one another. Suddenly, thoughts rush in from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thoughts, memories, dialogue, faces, feelings, worries, clips of things I should be doing swirl, inundate, and threaten to drown me in frustration in overwhelming fashion. I need to change laundry, make dinner, take the dog for a walk, finish the book I've been writing for 7 years. The kids will be home soon. Make dinner, paint the walls. But I can't move. I know that I should, but I can't. I fear others will see me as lazy, incompetent, and undeserving of the life I've managed to piece together. Just try a little harder. Suck it up. Everyone has mundane things to do. Life is hard. Just do it. However, as I stare out the window, the part of my brain that is supposed to tell me to get up is stuck in the off position, and I'm relegated to sitting here until it turns it back on. There's no telling how long it'll take. Sometimes it's a thought, sometimes it's something I see or hear that snaps me out of it. Until then, I sit, maybe tapping my fingers or my feet, thoughts doing backflips in my head, my hyperactivity almost imperceptible to others. Afterward, I berate myself, unable to understand why I didn't get up, why I wasted so much precious time, so much of my life doing nothing, it seems. And so, the cycle goes. ADHD does not take vacations. In many cases, if left untreated, it is pervasive, debilitating, and devastating. Before diagnosis and treatment, days and years went by where I was alive but not living, where I survived but did not thrive. Occasionally, when the fog thinned, I would find myself wondering why I had no goals, why I hadn't tried harder, why I seemed to quit everything, why I never got anywhere. I wondered what was wrong with me. Since being treated, I have an inner calmness that is new to me. Apparently, not every pothole is a crater and not every hill is a mountain. I do not have to do everything on my to-do list at once, and I do not have to fill every silence with the sound of my voice. Medication doesn't organize my day. It doesn't remind me to pick up the kids or walk the dog. However, it allows me some patience that I did not have before. It allows me to move when I've been staring out the window for too long. Without treatment, I wouldn't have been able to finish this article. Instead, I would have tweaked it for the next 5 years, transforming it into something unintelligible. I now feel as if I have the choice to join the game if I want to. Maybe I'll finish that book I was writing. Maybe I'll start a new one. I promise it won't be short. And that comes from Michelle Beryl Price, who lives in St. Albert, Alberta. We move to, is ADHD really a sleep problem? This was reported by Science Daily on September 4th, 2017, and the source is the European College of Neuropsychopharmacology. Around 75% of children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, also have sleep problems, but until now, these have been thought to be separate issues. Now, in a pulling together of the latest research, scientists are proposing a new theory which says that much of ADHD may in fact be a problem associated with lack of regular circadian sleep. Presenting the proposal at the ECNP conference in Paris, Professor Sandra Kuij, Associate Professor of Psychiatry at VU University Medical Center Amsterdam, and founder and chair of the European Network Adult ADHD, said, "There is extensive research showing that people with ADHD also tend to exhibit sleep problems. What we're doing here is taking this association to the next logical step. Pulling all the work together leads us to say that based on existing evidence, it looks very much like ADHD and circadian problems are intertwined in the majority of patients. We believe this because the day and night rhythm is disturbed, the timing of several physical processes is disturbed, not only of sleep, but also of temperature, movement patterns, timing of meals, and so on. If you review the evidence, it looks more and more like ADHD and sleeplessness are two sides of the same physiological and mental coin. Professor Kuij laid out the links which have led to the synthesis. In 75% of ADHD patients, the physiological sleep phase, where people show the physiological signs associated with sleep, such as changes in the level of the sleep hormone melatonin and changes in sleep-related movement, is delayed by 1.5 hours. Core body temperature changes associated with sleep are also delayed, reflecting melatonin changes. Many sleep-related disorders are associated with ADHD, including restless leg syndrome, sleep apnea, and the circadian rhythm disturbance, the delayed sleep phase syndrome. ADHD people often show greater alertness in the evening, which is the opposite of what is found in the general population. Many sufferers benefit from taking melatonin in the evening or bright light therapy in the morning, which can help reset the circadian rhythm. Recent work has shown that around 70% of adult ADHD sufferers show an oversensitivity of the eyes to light, leading many to wear sunglasses for long periods during the day, which may reinforce the problems associated with a circadian shift. Chronic late sleep leads to a chronic sleep debt, associated with obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cancer. This cascade of negative health consequences may in part be preventable by resetting the sleep rhythm. Professor Kuij continued, "We are working to confirm this physical-mental relationship by finding biomarkers, such as vitamin D levels, blood glucose, cortisol levels, 24-hour blood pressure, heart rate variability, and so on. If the connection is confirmed, it raises the intriguing question, does ADHD cause sleeplessness or does sleeplessness cause ADHD? If the latter, then we may be able to treat some ADHD by non-pharmacological methods, such as changing lighter sleep patterns and prevent the negative impact of chronic sleep loss on health. We don't say that all ADHD problems are associated with these circadian patterns, but it looks increasingly likely that this is an important element." Commenting, Professor Andreas Rief, University Hospital Frankfurt, and leader of the EU COCA project on ADHD, who was not involved in the research, said, "A disturbance of the circadian system may indeed be a core mechanism in ADHD, which could also link ADHD to other mental illnesses, such as depression or bipolar disorder. But also beyond these pathophysiological considerations, sleep problems and abnormalities of circadian rhythms are a huge problem for many patients, heavily impacting on their social life." He continued, "More research into the interconnections between ADHD and the inner clock is thus very relevant to improve patients' lives and to shed light on the disease mechanism of ADHD. Note, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is a group of behavioral symptoms with a neurobiological background that include inattentiveness, hyperactivity, mood swings, and impulsiveness. ADHD is highly heritable, and several differences in brain volume and function have been shown compared to controls. Symptoms of ADHD tend to be noticed at an early age and may become more noticeable when a child's circumstances change, such as when they start school. Most cases are diagnosed when children are 6 to 12, but ADHD is also increasingly recognized in adults and older people, as ADHD can persist during the lifespan. People with ADHD often have additional problems, such as sleep, mood, and anxiety disorders. Between 2 and 5% of children, adults, and older people suffer from ADHD. And we move on to a piece written by Benedict Carey, published on October 20th, 2017 for the New York Times. And the title is "This Controversial New Study Casts Doubt on Diagnosis of Adult Onset ADHD." In just the past few years, researchers have identified what they believe is an adult version of attention deficit disorder, a restless inability to concentrate that develops spontaneously after high school, years after the syndrome typically shows itself, and without any early signs. The proposed diagnosis, called adult-onset ADHD and potentially applicable to millions of people in their late teenage years and older, is distinct from the usual adult variety, in which symptoms linger from childhood. Yet, a new study suggests that adult-onset ADHD is rare, if it exists at all. The paper published Friday in the American Journal of Psychiatry could deepen the debate over these symptoms rather than settle it. Previously, three large analyses had estimated the prevalence of the disorder at 3 to 10% of adults. The new study, while smaller, mined more extensive medical histories than earlier work and found that most apparent cases of adult-onset attention deficits are likely the result of substance abuse or mood problems. This study carefully considered whether each person met criteria for ADHD and also fully considered other disorders that might better explain the symptoms, said Mary Salanto, an associate professor of pediatrics at the Zucker School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell. In all those respects, it is the most thorough study we have looking at this issue. Dr. Salanto said the study all but ruled out adult-onset ADHD as a standalone diagnosis. Other experts cautioned that it was too early to say definitively and noted that attention deficits often precede mood and substance abuse problems, which in turn can mask the condition. The new analysis drew on data from a study of childhood ADHD that had tracked people from age 9 or 10 up through early adulthood, gathering detailed histories from multiple sources, including doctors and parents. That project, begun in 1994, recruited 579 children with diagnosed ADHD, as well as a group of 289 in the same classrooms for comparison purposes. Of those control youngsters, the new study found 24 would go on to develop attention deficit problems much later on, during high school or after. Classic ADHD is diagnosed between ages 5 and 12. The authors of the new report, led by Margaret Sibley, an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral health at Florida International University, carefully examined the extensive records of those 24 with adult-onset ADHD. The researchers found that the attention deficits in all but five cases most likely stemmed from other causes, like marijuana use, depression, or anxiety. And the remaining five were hardly straightforward cases. One subject had previously had an eating disorder, another had shown signs of mania. This suggests to me the diagnosis doesn't exist independent of a compelling psychiatric history, said Dr. Sibley. No one in our group developed ADHD in adulthood out of nowhere. Some 10% of children are given a diagnosis of ADHD, and most grow out of it to some extent. One reason that symptoms may emerge seemingly from nowhere in high school or later, experts say, is that some youngsters have offsetting abilities like high IQ or supports, such as sensitive parents or teachers, that mask the problems early on. In this respect, upbringing and environment may effectively blunt or contain symptoms. Not all experts believe the new report is the last word. When we take out all those people who have complicating problems like substance use and mood disorders, we still find that about a third of late-onset cases remain, said Jessica Agnew-Blaze, a postdoctoral research fellow at the Institute of Psychiatry, Psychology, and Neuroscience at King's College London. She was co-author of a previous study that estimated the prevalence of adult-onset ADHD at about 6%. What this discrepancy points to is that it's important to look at different populations, Dr. Agnew-Blaze said of the new findings. I don't think clinicians should be shutting the door if the only sticking point is the age of onset of symptoms, she added. And we have some time to go to five changes to make in 2017 for adults with ADHD. And this was written by Eileen Bailey for Health Central. To set a resolution or not, that is the question. On one hand, resolutions are commitments to making a positive change in your life. On the other hand, they usually go by the wayside within days or weeks. Whether or not you choose to make a resolution and set goals for yourself, there are some changes you can incorporate into your daily life that will help you better prepare for your coming day. ADHD coach Jenna Knight shared 5 ideas with Health Central to help you be more productive. Number 1, build a morning routine. The morning routine can be one of the toughest areas for an adult with ADHD. The morning is time-pressured and has a lot of different steps, and this type of stressful situation doesn't bring out the best in many adults with ADHD. Number 2, plan the night before. Write down just 1 to 3 of the most important things you need to get done on a to-do list. By keeping this list to 1 to 3 tasks, it becomes easier to get the most important things done and not to start procrastinating by doing the tasks that are less important. Number 3, prep the night before. Reduce the stress of your morning routine by getting the simple details out of the way the night before. For example, pick out your clothes, prepare and pack your lunch. Put your keys, wallet, and other needed items in a place where you'll not have to be running around looking for them the next morning. Number 4, write a reminder on your bedside table. What you see in the first few minutes after you wake up can have an effect on your morning and, as an extension, your whole day. Try putting a note with a reminder on your bedside table. An example of things you can write on your note could be one of your favorite quotes or your most important whys. For instance, why is important to follow these ideas toward a better 2017? And lastly, number 5, get some positive information into your brain over breakfast. While eating breakfast, do something that does not depress you or make you feel powerless to change your life or the world in a small or big way. Think positive. For example, read a few couple positive posts from a blog or website, listen to a podcast that increases your motivation, or read a chapter from a book that inspires you. Jenna Knight is an ADHD coach and the author of the ebook Managing Adult ADHD: Practical Tools and Strategies for Dealing with Everyday Life. And you can find out more about her coaching services at Never Defeated Coaching. So I thank you for tuning into Sound Body today. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.